Well, it's good to be back with you. We're wrapping up our little series on Jonah today, and I'm grateful for the time that we've been able to spend in God's Word. There was a little boy in church one day who was teasing his sister during worship. He stole her crayon, and then he stuck his tongue out at her, and then he punched his little sister, and guess what? Dad picks him up, scoops that little boy up. He's going to take him out. He's going to punish him privately. And the little boy cries out to his dad, "No, wait, Dad, I'll be good." And then as they're walking out of the service, the little boy turns back to the congregation. He says, "Y'all pray for me now." How much do you value God's patience? How much do you value that God is slow to become angry and often doesn't give us the whooping we deserve? In Jonah chapter 3 last week, we saw that God was patient towards the wicked and violent city of Nineveh. We're looking at chapter 4 today. And this chapter was written that we might see God's immense patience towards you, towards believers, and why he is so slow to become angry with his followers. So keep that in mind as we read this passage of Scripture. This is God's word this morning. Let's hear it. Jonah chapter 4. "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to Yahweh, 'Oh Yahweh, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Yahweh, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.' But Yahweh replied, 'Have you any right to be angry?' Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then Yahweh God provided a vine and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, 'It'd be better for me to die than to live.' But God said to Jonah, 'Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?' 'I do,' he said. 'I'm angry enough to die.' But Yahweh said, 'You've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?'" That's the end of the book of Job. Jonah. We would be here a long time if we went through Job. Sorry, guys. That'll be next time, right? We've just lost our microphone there. Sorry about that. So how great is God's patience towards believers? Jonah has a description of God in verse 2. And it's interesting because his words are almost identical to God's word to Moses. Yahweh described himself in exactly those words in Exodus 34:6. When Jonah says, "God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." That's God's own description of himself to Moses, and now Jonah repeats it. Spot on. That's who God is. That's exactly what God demonstrated towards those unclean Gentiles who were living in that wicked city of Nineveh. In chapter 4, God not only justifies his patience with Nineveh, but he demonstrates his patience to Jonah himself. And through Jonah, God's revealing his patience with us, with you and me. So don't let this just be a history story, but it's also a call to us to realize your God is so patient, so slow to become angry with each one of us. So let's just start looking at Jonah himself. Look at all the despicable sins that God relented from punishing in Jonah. Jonah flat out disobeyed God. We saw that in the first chapter, right? But in this chapter, Jonah admits it. He boldly tells God, "That's why I fled from you. Yep, I did it. I deserted my post." Jonah admits he was quick to flee the Lord and try to take a ship going the opposite direction to Tarshish. Now let's pause for a moment. Let's ask ourselves this question. Have you ever done that? Have you ever clearly known what God wants from your life and you've told him, "No, not going to do it. I know what you want, not going to do it." And you're still alive here today. So while I would say that's a patient, forbearing, merciful God, that he hasn't destroyed us, we're still here. Interesting, Malachi actually says that. Because God doesn't change his mercy, his compassions, his patience. We're still alive. Thank you, Jesus, right? But there's more. In this short chapter, we see Jonah's, this is hard to describe, but it really is an ugliness. And it doesn't come from the fact that he had been marinated in a whale's stomach for 3 days and then vomited out with who knows what else. But in this chapter, God does expose just how grotesque Jonah's heart really is. So let me ask you this. Does Jonah remind you of someone else in the Bible? I'll give you a hint. Someone in the New Testament. Well, Jonah reminds me of the older brother in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. The older brother watches as his father richly welcomes his depraved brother home. A brother who'd spent a third of the family's fortune on drunken parties and prostitutes. He's angry with his father for hosting a huge party with music and dancing and an expensive steak dinner that probably will never be replicated again. The fattened calf was killed. The fattened bull, the largest one on the ranch. Jonah was angry with God, just like the older brother was angry with his father. And just like the Pharisees were angry with Jesus for welcoming and eating with sinners. I want you to grasp this important truth. God is patient with those who are angry with his mercy. God is patient with those who insist on the destruction of sinners. God is patient with those who have quickly forgotten his mercy towards themselves. Okay, back to Jonah, looking more at the grotesque heart that he had, right? I guess you could say on a scale of 1 to 10, Jonah was a 10. He was a hothead, wasn't he? How many times does it say, "I'm so angry. I'm so angry I could die"? Jonah was so angry that he was sent on a mission by God that did not end in the destruction of the Ninevites. He's critical of God for sending him on, in one sense, in his mind, a wild goose chase. He's basically saying, "Yahweh, I knew you were going to do it. You're going to send me, and then you're going to relent from your anger, and you didn't destroy them. I knew you'd left Nineveh off the hook. Your character, you would have done that. He's so angry with God that he tells Yahweh, and I want his words to sink in for a moment. He says, "I'd rather die than serve you. I'd be better off if you killed me than to go on living as your evangelist. You might as well kill me just like you were in the open sea, because this time I'm saying I quit. I want to quit." Do you know how many missionaries and pastors throughout history would have gladly risked their lives to be used as God's messenger like Jonah? It's a sad contrast that Jonah is such a sinful drama queen, I have a right to be angry. I am angry enough to die. It almost seems impossible when you read that to believe. Could any prophet ever say those words to God? It just seems so surreal. It doesn't seem like it's possible. But in your own anger, have you ever talked to God like this? Have you ever gotten so angry with God you told him, I don't want to serve you even if you will kill me? I had a lady in counseling one time told me that. She said, you know, I'm going to continue to have an affair and I'm going to divorce my husband. And yeah, breast cancer runs in the family. I guess if that's what God's going to do to me, that's what God's going to do to me. No fear of the Lord. How shameful, how disturbing. And yet God's patient with Jonah. And God's patient with you and I, even when we rebel. Jonah wants God to take his life. He says, it's better for me to die than to see my enemies live. I don't want the job of going around telling my enemies that they're going to die in 40 days, and then you go ahead and save them. How embarrassing for me. I'd rather be dead than to be used to rescue my enemies, those wicked, unclean barbarians. I'm mad and I'm disgusted by what you're doing. I don't agree with your plan, God. If you were Jonah's boss, would you have immediately fired him? If you were Jonah's God, would you oblige this angry, disrespectful, defiant servant with the death he demanded? Would you say, okay, Jonah, you want to resign as my servant? You want to be dead so your preaching won't result in saving souls? So be it. As you wish, you can die. Do you see the patience? God is so patient with Jonah. He takes his time with him. So now I want to ask you the question, why? Well, of course, he loves him. But God is patient so that Jonah will see his error and repent. God is patient so that you and I will come to repentance. That's why he's patient with any of us, unbeliever or believer, so that we will repent. But also so that we will become more like God. We'll become more compassionate and merciful and slow to anger, just like God himself. Now, God's correction to Jonah, it wasn't immediate like the roar of thunder at Mount Sinai. It scared all the Israelites. They begged Moses, please, we don't want to hear God anymore. We're terrified. You speak to us. God's correction was not like the light that blinded Saul on the road to Damascus and a voice from heaven that made Saul say, who are you, Lord? And God's correction was not as severe as Nebuchadnezzar, who was turned insane and ate grass like a wild animal. I want you to contrast. Look at the correction. God patiently began correcting Jonah by simply asking him a question, a simple question. Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? Do you have a right to be angry with my mercy? Do you have a right to be angry with my plan to save Nineveh? That's how he began the correction. He could have been far more severe with the way that Jonah dishonored God. Now, the Bible doesn't record Jonah's answer to God's question. Makes you wonder if Jonah angrily ignored God. Maybe this is one of the first examples, somebody ghosting somebody else, right? Jonah just disrespectfully ignores God's question. The next thing we read is this justice-seeking prophet is sitting outside the city of Nineveh, and he's hoping that someone in that city or a group of them will slip up and do something violent or evil so that God will reconsider his plan and he would pour out his wrath, his fierce wrath on this city. So Jonah selected a prime seat for himself to wait and to watch for their slip-up and their destruction. Do you think someone like Jonah is unreachable? Would he be worth your time to try to win over, or would you say, I'm not going to talk to him? He's made his mind up. He's set in his ways. Do you think that the Pharisees that hated Jesus for showing mercy to prophets are a lost cause not worth pursuing? Pharisees' hearts are dead and corrupt. Why would I waste my breath? Why did Jesus waste his time telling them the story of the prodigal son? Apparently, he thought they were worth investing in. Are there hateful, self-righteous, judgmental people in your right, in your life, in your realm of friendships? Do you believe that they are a waste of time? Yeah, they'll never change. Not worth wasting my breath on them. While Jonah's focused on waiting for Nineveh's destruction, God patiently has a plan that he begins in order to rescue Jonah from his anger and to create in Jonah a new heart, a heart of compassion just like God's. So over the next few days, God takes time to give Jonah a visual lesson that's designed to change his heart. And the object lesson is brilliant. I hope you see the brilliance in God's plan. He's going to create a situation where Jonah falls in love with a shade tree, a broadleaf vine. I don't know if you've ever seen people fall in love with shade on a scorching, hot, humid day. I can remember one in my lifetime. It was a July 4th. It was a parade that our church was involved with in Kentwood. Temperature was over 100 degrees. It was still as could be. And it was humid. It was oppressive. Fair-skinned people who were standing out early, getting ready for the parade, they were like me, Germanic white skin. I'm not like Pastor Mart. I don't tan. I turn like a red lobster. And there are a lot of people who are out there for half an hour or less, and they were turning bright, bright red, and all I could think about, they're going to be in pain tonight, tomorrow morning. Parade watchers gather around any shady spot they could find, and they would guard it with a passion. We stake this area out for our parade watching. Nobody else is going to take it. And the thing that struck me the most was as we were walking along the parade route, handing out flyers for the church, gospel tracts for the church, there was one small family that were huddled under the shade of a street sign. Tiny little square, but they were huddled underneath it because they wanted some kind of shelter from the sun. That afternoon, some from our church had a tent for the handout information for the church and some candy for the kids. And even though we had a tent, a shelter from the sun, literally, after a couple hours, we felt so faint, a number of us started to pray that the sun would go down and there might be a cool evening breeze to bring some relief. So when I read this about Jonah getting hot and scorched and everything else, I could relate. So here's Jonah loving this leafy vine and how it served him. But when it died, he was angry all over again. And God asked him, Jonah, do you have a right to be angry that the lovely little vine died? And Jonah yells back at God, yes, I'm angry, and I just want to die right now. The vine no longer is going to bring me relief from this deadly heat. If I'm going to die of heat stroke, just take my life now, Lord. Why wait? Get it over quickly. Notice how God patiently and tenderly appeals to Jonah's heart. He says, Jonah, that vine mattered so much to you. But you didn't have any involvement in planting it or caring for it or fertilizing it or watering it. How can you be so attached to this plant when you were only blessed with its shade for just one day? On the other hand, God says, The great city of Nineveh has 120,000 people that I planted and I cared for over many generations. A city like Nineveh just doesn't sprout up overnight. I created it. And even though they don't have a moral compass, I grant you, they don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know good from evil, right from wrong. Yet shouldn't I have compassion on them and not seek their destruction? So why did God take this time with Jonah? Why set this whole thing up, the growing a vine to provide shade, sending a worm to kill the plant, sending a scorching east wind and blazing sun to make Jonah faint? And the answer is because God loved Jonah and he wants Jonah to love what he loves. Yeah, we wanted Jonah to have compassion on those he has compassion on. In his arrogance, Jonah was actually telling God the opposite. He says, "You should be angry like me, Yahweh. You should want Nineveh's destruction like I want it." And God patiently is saying to Jonah, and to you and I today, he's saying, be like me. Be perfect in love as your heavenly Father is perfect. He loves the righteous and the unrighteous. Be like me. Let your love be perfect like mine. Or be like God, who says in Ezekiel chapter 38, I do not delight in the destruction of the wicked. Jonah, why do you delight in their destruction? It grieves me to destroy them. Go back to Genesis 6 and read about the flood. It says it grieved God in his heart that mankind was always evil all the time. And it says it put a pain in God's heart. He didn't delight in this, their destruction. And then the book of Jonah ends abruptly. Kind of a cliffhanger, isn't it? Don't you have a lot of questions? Does it seem strange that it ends right there with a question? Did God's patience with Jonah pay off? Did Jonah still hate God's mercy for sinners and want to die? Or did Jonah respond to God's patient correction and repent? Did Jonah ever preach to sinners again? Those are a lot of questions. So why didn't God give us a response? You know, the same thing is true about the older brother and the prodigal son. Father patiently pleads with the older brother and says, we gotta celebrate. Your brother was dead and now he's alive. And the appropriate thing, the right thing to do is to celebrate and rejoice at the new life that he has. The book is left unfinished because God is patiently waiting for your response. Will you be angry or will you have compassion on the wicked? You've learned from Jonah. What will you be? Will you resign and say, I'm not going to share the gospel with those people? Or will you joyfully bring the good news of Jesus because it was the only way you were saved? Through Jesus' blood, through his death on the cross? And your heart's concerned that they might find the salvation you found too. The reason it ends this way is God is patiently, immensely patiently waiting for your answer. So what will it be? Let's pray. God, you are so immensely patient with sinners outside the church. You proved that with saving that entire city of Nineveh, bringing them to repentance and sackcloth and fasting and crying out and forsaking their evil ways. You also showed your immense patience with Saul. He was a murderous persecutor. He even said that he was an example of your immense patience that others who hoped that they could have eternal life and forgiveness of sins could have confidence in you. We thank you, Lord, for being patient with us, the church. Help us to repent from anger and hatred towards the wicked. Transform our hearts and minds to imitate your compassion. Thank you for that. Your patience gives us hope that you're not done sanctifying us yet. You're not done in transforming our hearts and our affections. We praise you for being slow to anger and for not treating us the way our sins deserve. Thank you for patiently working all things together in our lives that we might become more and more like you. Help our hearts this morning to appreciate your immense patience. And Lord, make us patient and long-suffering with one another. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.